Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, it's so good to have each and every one of you. Amen. Let me just make a quick announcement in case I forget at the end of the service, but we're very, very excited about our youth week next week. Amen. We have any young people excited about that? Amen. We're just trusting and believing that God is just going to do just fantastic, fantastic things. Amen. And next Tuesday, the young people here at the church will be having a kind of a community group style service. And so if you're a parent of one of the young people in the church, do whatever you possibly can to make sure your young person is here, your child is here. And it's going to be a great, great time. We won't have anything necessarily here at the church, because obviously community groups will be going on. Then Wednesday night here at the church at 7:30, Brother Rima Duncan is going to be preaching, and we're excited about that. Thursday night, Brother Nick De La Cruz is going to be preaching the word of the Lord. Friday, the young people are just going to be going out having a good time, fun and fellowship. And then on Saturday, everybody say Saturday. Saturday is our commit service. And it starts pre-service prayers at 10:30. We're asking everyone that can possibly be here at 10:30 to be here at 10:30. And service itself starts at 11 o'clock. Now, in years gone by, we make a really big push for all of the church to be here for commit service. And we typically have about 15% or 20%. And I would like to see that change this year. Okay, I would like to see that change this year. And I want you to understand that the commit service is part of our revival. Okay, it's, we don't have that many revivals, and so we're asking the church to do what you can to be here for those services. And so that commit service, 10:30, pre-service prayer, 11 o'clock. Brother Jason Sisko, who is a powerful, highly anointed man of God, is going to be preaching. We're going to have fantastic music and worship. And we need this church. I mean, church is going to be coming from all over, youth groups from all over. But we need this church who know how to create an atmosphere. Okay? I absolutely believe, and I have felt for months now, literally for months, that God is wanting to do something very, very special in that commit service. I have felt it for months leading up to this. And we need all of the church that can be here to please be here to help us create an atmosphere for God to move. That'll start in the pre-service prayer, and then it'll lead right into the worship and the preaching and the altar service. And so please make sure you put that on your schedule. And then obviously church normal time on Sunday. Amen. So just want to make sure that you are aware of that. We'll announce that again on Sunday. But do your best to be here, and not just be here, but to bring somebody with you. Young people, do your best to bring somebody with you. Friends, schoolmates, whatever, bring them with you to the house of the Lord. Somebody said amen. We've been talking the last few services about the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. And I feel like this is just kind of an offshoot of our Faith in Action series. And we talked about it a little bit in that series. And this just feel like God is just kind of still nudging us concerning the authority of His Word. And I feel like the Lord is wanting us to stay on this particular topic, because He knows that everything that we are and everything that we ever will be as apostolic believers is founded and has its foundation upon the Word of God. Everything that we are, everything that we stand for, everything that we believe in, everything that we're ever going to be able to accomplish for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, all of it has its foundation upon His Word. And we'll either do what He's told us to do or not do what He's told us to do based upon our revelation or lack thereof concerning the authority that rests upon this book. Somebody said amen. Because if we're going to operate in the next dimension of faith that He's calling us into, it'll be because we know that this book and the one who wrote this book is going to back us up. Somebody said amen. If we are going to take those steps of faith in order to put our faith into action, if we are going to do what God has told us to do as apostolics and truly change our worlds, not just talk about changing our worlds, but truly change our worlds. Somebody said amen. Not just talking about it, but actually doing it. If we are going to do what God told us to do, it is going to be because we believe with everything within us that there is an authority that rests upon this book that is going to back us up when we are obedient to it. Oh, hallelujah. The authority of God's word. Now, the book says it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The word of the Lord says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." They're saying we're very excited about this. What are they excited about? Because, now watch, "when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us," we spoke to you the word of God. When you heard it, they said, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Somebody said amen. "Which effectually," that word effectually means powerfully. Which powerfully, what's it talking about? It's talking about the word. "The word powerfully worketh also in you that believe." So notice, here was a group of believers that understood the fact that whereas it might be men who were speaking the words to them, it was not the words of men. It was the words of God himself. The men of God might have, the leaders, the elders, whatever, might have been getting up and speaking what thus saith the Lord. But the people listening understood those are not words from a man. Those are words from God himself. Because they are preaching the word of the Lord. They are talking about the word of the Lord. They are declaring the word of the Lord. They understood that it might have been men that wrote the word on paper, but it was the words of God himself that were written down. Oh, hallelujah. They understood the authority of God's word. And because they understood the authority that rested upon God's word, the Bible says that the word, hear me, the word was able to powerfully work in their lives. Effectually worketh, powerfully worketh in their lives. Lives. Why? Because they understood it is not just man's words, but it is God's word. Church, let me say it to us again. The moment we truly get revelation concerning the authority that rests upon this book will be the moment that every powerful thing that is promised in this book will be released into our lives. He said, because you understood that it's not the words of men, but it is the words of God. He said, those words are able to work powerfully in you. Every powerful thing that we shout about, every powerful thing that we want to see, every powerful thing that we declare, every powerful thing that we want to experience in our lives, in our homes, in our ministries, every powerful thing that this book says we can and we should see will be released into our lives the moment we get revelation that this is the word of God. Oh, I don't know why I'm staying on this so long, but God is trying to give us revelation. This is not words on a page. This is not the words of men, but God is speaking to us these words. And if we could ever grasp that, if we could ever get that revelation, this isn't just words we're reading in our daily Bible program. We're reading the bread program. We're going through a chapter. We're going through another. No, 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 sir. No, ma'am. This is not just words, but this is promises of God. This is words from God Himself. And the moment you get that, the moment you get a real revelation, not just intellectually, but the moment you get it in your heart, God said that. God said that. The all-powerful God of all heaven and earth, He's the one that promised that. The moment you get that revelation is the moment that power, power, power can be released in your life. Come on, put your hands together, give Him praise. Oh. Oh. How many know we need power to do what He's called us to do? We've got to have power to lay hands on the sick. We got to have power to see crippled limbs straightened. We got to have power to see blind eyes open and deaf ears. We've got to have power to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We've got to have power to see an apostolic outpouring of His presence. We've got to have His power, not our power. We've got to have His strength, not our strength. And He said, you want to know how you're going to get the power that you need working within you? He said, if you'll get it the moment you understand, these are not the words of men, but these are the words of God. Oh, if God said it, it's got to happen. If God promised it, we can do it. If God declared it, He's going to back it up because it's His authority. It's His authority. Oh, hallelujah. Oh God, help us to walk in that understanding. Help us to walk in that revelation. Help us to walk with that knowledge in our minds that what we are doing and what He has called us to do, He's going to back it up. Oh, somebody shout amen. Oh, somebody shout amen. So, in light of what we've just said, I feel to let somebody know that there is, hear me now, there is a power that is waiting to be released into an area of your living. The moment you get a word from the Lord about it and grasp the fact that it is in fact a word from the Lord. He said if they'll get a word, and if they'll understand it's not a word of a man, but it is a word of God, He said it will begin to powerfully work in them. And I feel to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost right now that there is a working of the Spirit. There is a powerful working. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There is a powerful anointing. There is a powerful working of the Spirit of God that is waiting to be released into a particular area of your life. The moment you get a word from the Lord for yourself and recognize that it is a word from the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. What I would like for us to understand is that greater than the fact that there is a such thing called a word of the Lord is the fact that from the totality of this word, there can issue forth a specific word for a specific person at a specific time. Yes, his word is all encompassing. And yes, his word can enlighten the youngest child and dumbfound its greatest student. And yes, his word is from everlasting to everlasting. But somewhere in the vastness of its truths and somewhere in the enormity of its scope is a specific word that is solely and completely for you right here and right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when God looks at the world, when he looks at creation, he does not see us in mass. But rather, he looks at each of us as individuals specifically, with our own unique issues and our own unique struggles. If we were to see a crowd of even a few thousand, we would see them as a mass of people. Right? We would see them as a grouping of people. But God does not see them as that. He sees them individually. And not just with 2,000, but with 6 or 7 or 8 billion people, whatever the case may be. He does not see a mass of people. He sees individual people. And I believe that he can and will give us a word that is tailor-made for whatever we're going through right now. Anybody believe that in the house? Oh, hallelujah. Does anybody believe that God knows exactly what you're going through? Does anybody believe that even though there's all these billions of people in the world and so-and-so's got issues and so-and-so's got problems, but do you still believe that God knows exactly what I'm going through and God knows exactly what I'm facing and God knows exactly what's in my heart and God knows exactly what's in, is there anybody in the house that believes that? And because you believe that, you also believe that he can give you a specific word for a specific hour. So I said all that to say this. You need to stop asking everybody else what they think you should do. And you need to get a word from the Lord. You need to stop emailing everybody for direction. And you need to get a word from the Lord. I don't know who this is for, but some of you are so confused today because you're trying to do what Susie told you to do a month ago and you're trying to do what Mary told you 2 weeks ago and you're trying to do what John told you last week and you're trying to do what Joe told you yesterday and it's all confusing and none of it makes sense. I know they might have meant well for you and I know they might have loved you, but you've got to stop listening to them for a while and you've got to get a word from the Lord. Somebody said amen. Now here's why we don't though. Because how many know sometimes it can be a difficult process to get a word from the Lord. Sometimes you got to work at it a little bit. Somebody said amen. Sometimes you have to pray a little bit longer than just a few moments to get a word from the Lord. Sometimes you got to push through some stuff to get a word from the Lord. Sometimes you got to wrestle with some things in order to get a word from the Lord. Sometimes you got to give up some things in order to get a word from the Lord. Sometimes you got to be willing to sacrifice some things in order to get a word from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And sometimes we think it's just easier. I'm talking to all of us. Sometimes it's just easier to call up somebody and say, hey, tell me what to do. Hey, what am I supposed, I don't want to go through all the work to get a word. I just want somebody to tell me what to do. But can I tell you, even if they love you, and even if they have their your They want to help you and do what's right in your life. How many know that there is a word that can only come from the Lord Himself? Oh, listen to me. You've got to stop basing your decisions on your emotions. And you need to get a word from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm up today, so my decisions are going to be this. But I'm down tomorrow. The next day I'm down, and so I'm going to change my decisions. One day I'm all in. The next day I'm all out. One day I'm all for it. The next day I'm all against it. One day I'm believing God. The next day I don't think it's going to happen. One day I'm saying yes. The next day I'm saying no. Why? Because we're on an emotional roller coaster. When you're going through storms. Oh, hallelujah. When you're going through tough times, how many know it'll hit you and your emotions are going to go up and your emotions are going to come down when you're going through stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're going through some stuff and you're going through some storms and your emotions aren't always what they're supposed to be because you're dealing with things. My friend, that's why in the middle of it all, you need to get a word from the Lord. So when your emotions are up, you still got a word. But when your emotions are down, you're still hanging on to your word. And when you feel like throwing in the towel, no sir, no ma'am. Why? Because I got a word. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what I feel like. I got a word from the Lord. Right now what I feel like doing is not what I'm going to do because I got a word from the Lord. Oh. What I feel like doing is throwing in the towel. What I feel like doing is just turning my back on it all. What I feel like doing is giving up and giving in. But I'm not going to do what I feel like because I got a word from the Lord. And His word is greater than my emotions. Somebody shout amen. We got to stop changing direction every time our feelings change. But I feel this way today, so I'm going to go this way. And all of a sudden, the next day I wake up and I just don't feel like that anymore. So I'm going to go this way. And we're zigzagging all around. And we're never accomplishing anything. We're never having any forward momentum at all. Get a word and stick with it. You hear me? Get a word and stick with it. Let me tell you something else. It's in my notes. Let me tell you something. Let me help somebody right here. If we get a word, but then we go to 900 other people to get a confirmation. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting a confirmation. Maybe one or two spiritual people. Okay? One or two spiritual people get a confirmation. Not 15. Not people that you barely even know. Not people that can't even be faithful to church. Because how many know if we're going to do that, if we're going to go get, try to, well, I'm going to get confirmation from 15 different people. How many know that the enemy is going to send somebody your way? If we're going to ask 15 people, one of them is going to be a devil. Am I right about it? And here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a word from, I'm going to help somebody. You're going to get a word from the Lord at this altar, and you're going to feel great. It's on. I feel it. It's absolutely going to happen. I got a word from the Lord. And you go to one of your dear sisters in the Lord that are full of faith and full of power, and they pray and they seek God and they fast. And you say, this is the word I got. And they say, I believe that. I'm going to agree with you. And you go to one of the elders or executive elders or pastor, whatever, and you say, this is what I felt. And they say, I agree with you on that. But then if you keep going, and keep going to all these other people. The lady at the checkout aisle. You go to all these other people. There's going to be one that says, well, I just don't know about that. I just don't know that. Really? You really think you ought to do that? You really think you should hold on to that promise? You really think this and you really think that? And all of a sudden, what's going to enter in? Doubt. Doubt. Unbelief, confusion. Well, I thought it was a word from the Lord, but so-and-so said it wasn't. Hear me. You got to get a word from the Lord for yourself. And you need to stop changing directions every time your feelings change. We got to quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Pick ourselves up and just get a word from the Lord. Well, Pastor, I got this going in my life, and I've got this issue going. My kids are doing this. My spouse is doing this, and it's just wearing me down. It's just beating me up. I'm just struggling. I've come to tell somebody, yes, those are real things, and those are real issues that we all face, but I've come to tell somebody that God has a specific word for you. He has a specific word for you. He's got a word for the single mom today who's at wit's end. He's got a word for the man who's just lost his job. He's got a word for the individual who feels like life has left you behind. He's got a word for those who are grieving. He's got a word for those who are confused. He's got a word for those who are hurting. He's got a word for you. We got to quit blaming everything and everybody and just get a word from the Lord and stick with it. Hang on to it. Somebody said amen. Somebody said amen. Now, let me prove to you just how specific of a word God wants to give us. Without going to all the verses, as you read the New Testament, specifically the ministry of Jesus, you'll find that there were four people mentioned in Scripture who were blind that had the faith that Jesus could heal them. Four. And what I want you to notice is that they all had the same problem. They all had the same condition. They all had the same issue. They all had the same handicap. But as you read of their encounters with Jesus, you'll find that he spoke to them four completely different ways in which to bring about their miracle. They all had the same problem, same issue, same handicap. But when Jesus spoke to them, he spoke to them four distinctly different ways for them to be healed. Somebody said amen. I know sister so-and-so might be going through the same thing as you. And you can talk to her. But don't take her word from the Lord and apply it to your issue. You got to get a word from the Lord for yourself. I know your situation is real similar to so-and-so's situation. But just because God gave, now there are certain principles that we can always follow and get the same outcome. But what I'm trying to tell us is, just because somebody else was going through something that's similar, you can't say, what was your word from the Lord, and piggyback on it. You got to get a word from the Lord for yourself. Because you are a distinct individual. You're not the same as them. Oh, hallelujah. Get a word for yourself. Why? Because there is an authority that is attached to this word. And when you connect with that word, your word, when you connect to your word, you are also connecting to the authority that is attached to it. He gives you your word. You're not trying to grab a hold of somebody else's word, but he gave you your own word. And when you grab a hold of it, you are grabbing a hold of the authority that is attached to that word. And when you submit to your word, thereby loosing the authority of God to work in your life, that is when the blessings will start flowing. And that is when this power that we're talking about will be released in your life. So where do you need power released? Where do you need power released in your life? Wherever it is, get a word from the Lord about it. And then connect to that word, thereby connecting to the authority. And the authority of God steps into that situation. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody hear me right now. Up until that moment, there has been a different authority in that particular area of your life. That's why there's been a struggle. That's why there's been an issue. That's why the fighting is happening. That's why there's contention. That's why there's, because there's a different authority in that particular area that is not of God. Somebody else is ruling in that area. That's why it's so messed up. So what do you do in that area? You say, okay, God, in this particular area, I need a word from you. Why? Because with that word is attached the authority. And when you grab a hold of that word, you are pulling, in essence, the authority of God that is on that word into the area where you are struggling. And when the authority of God steps in, what previously was in authority has to submit. Whatever used to rule in that particular area of your life has to submit to the rule and the reign of the one who is now in authority. You want God to be an authority in your marriage? Get a word from the Lord about your marriage. Grasp a hold of it and don't let go no matter what. Because when you do, you are attaching yourself to the authority. And the authority of God that rests upon that word will flow into that marriage. And it will take up residence as the dominant force in that relationship. And everything that has come in the relationship prior to steal, to kill, and to destroy has to submit to the new authority in town, which is the one who has come to give joy and peace and love. You want power in your finances? You want power in your ministry? You want power to do what God has called you to do? You want the power that is there? Then get a word from God about it. Get a word from God and hold on to it no matter what, because by connecting to a word, you are connecting to authority that is upon that word, and you are pulling it into that area, and you are loosing him to become authority there. Somebody said amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if we can lift our hands in his presence right now. Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Every answer, the answer for why it is 77 degrees in here. Everybody else but Sister Lucretia is hot right now. If somebody knows how to work this thing, can you come turn this on? Sorry, Sister Lucretia. She's got her parka. She's good. Now listen. I'm going to help somebody right here. There's something we need to understand about getting a word from the Lord. Something we need to understand about getting a word from the Lord. For sometimes, hear me, sometimes what happens following your word doesn't always measure up to what you think should be happening. Let me explain. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever received a word from the Lord? You're going through trouble, you're going through trial, you're going through struggle, dark times, whatever. You come to the altar, you pray, you go hit your knees at your closet of prayer, and you go after the things of God, and you get a word from the Lord. And you know it's a word from the Lord. And you get a word from the Lord. And you know it's a word from the Lord. And then your situation gets worse instead of better. Anybody ever been there? And so you're all pumped. You're all excited. You're at the altar. You get this great word from God. And you stand up. And you're like, it's all about to change right now. Yeah, well, I'm about to see. It's the whole thing's about to change. And the next day hits. And it gets worse. Instead of better. And it goes down. Instead of up. Anybody ever been there? Anyone ever received a promise from God about an issue you were facing only to see your issue go from bad to worse? Yeah. Yeah. I come to help you with something. Now watch this. I want you to look at what the book says. Genesis 1 and 5. And God, somebody say God. God called, he spoke, called, the light, day, and the darkness he called night. Ready? Here we go. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. Notice, when the creative power of God spoke something new into existence. This was the very first day. This was something new. Never happened before. When the creative power of God spoke something new into existence, he spoke it, or he declared it, to begin in the darkness and then move into the light. God said, the evening and the morning are the first day. We think of the morning and the evening being a day. But when God spoke his creative word to create something new out of void and darkness, he spoke it to begin darkness. Evening first, moving then into the day. Hear me. Don't start doubting your word from the Lord because your dilemma still looks dark. Don't start doubting what God told you in prayer because it seems like the sun is sitting instead of rising in your issue. Well, I got a word from the Lord, but it seemed like all the light went out. I've come to let you know that God is the authority in your life. And however, hear me, however he speaks his creative and his miraculous word in your living will absolutely be the most loving and best thing that you could ever hope for, even if it doesn't make sense now. I got a word, but it's dark and not light. And God says, when I do things, I don't always do them the way you think I should do them. And I don't always work the way you would work. If you worked, it would go from light to dark. But if I work, I go sometimes from dark to light. See, because his ways are above our ways. His ways are past finding out. We don't always get it. But just because you get a word and things get dark, don't doubt the word. Don't think for a moment that, oh, it got dark, so I must not have heard from God, even though you do know you heard from God. Just because it's not working the way you think it's going to work, just because it's not going by your timeline, just because it's not going by your schedule, that does not mean God is not at work, and it does not mean that God did not give you a word. If you got a word, just trust the one who gave it to you. If you got a word and you know you got a word, then just trust the authority of the one who gave you that word. And if you know he's in authority, if you believe that he is in authority, then it doesn't matter if it's morning to night or night to morning, he's the one in authority. It doesn't matter if it's getting bad. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's a hopeless case. It doesn't matter. Why? Because he is the one in authority. And if he has the authority, then it doesn't matter what it looks like. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's an authority that's resting on the word. And the authority comes from God himself. So it doesn't matter what it looks like now. Trust the authority. See, this is where we're struggling, though. This is where we struggle. Oh, hallelujah. When it's all said and done, his word will be right. And his promises will absolutely come to pass if we hold on to his word. I don't know what happens if you let go of his word. I don't know. He's not bound to do what he told you he would do if you let go of it. But if you'll hold on to the word, if you'll hold on to the word, it has to come to pass. Somebody said amen. Let me show you this. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 13. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he, that's talking about David, sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. This is a side note. I'd love to see what would happen Sunday if we had more than just a few that would dance before the Lord with all your might. It's a different message. David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing. dancing before the Lord. Now, she didn't like it, but that's not what I'm talking about. Here's David. He's shouting. He's dancing before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. They're blowing trumpets. He gets into Jerusalem and he's leaping and he's dancing before the Lord. Now understand, at this time, the Ark of the Covenant was missing Aaron's rod that budded, which represented the miracles of God. And it was missing the pot of manna, which represented the provision of God. And yet still, it had within it the Ten Commandments, which represented the Word of God. And yet, as long as David had the Word of God, that was all he needed in order to dance. As long as he had the Word of God, that is all that he needed to shout and worship before God. Hear me. You might not see right now God's provision or God's miraculous abilities in what you're going through, but his Word has given you some promises. And his Word has given you some truths. And his Word has given you some things that you can rest on. And because of the Word, we have a reason to shout. Because of the Word, we have a reason to rejoice. Because of his Word, we have a reason to lift our voices and give praise unto God. Hallelujah. Hear me. God knows we're going to shout when he does the miracle. God knows we're going to dance when the provision comes through and the check comes in the mail. It's not hard to worship when God does the miracle. It's not hard to dance when God provides for you. But he's waiting to see, is there anybody that understands the fact that there is an authority that is resting upon my word? And they'll just get a word from the Lord. And even if they don't see me work, they know my word will not return void. And if I promised it, it's going to come to pass. And if they just have my word, that's reason enough to shout. That's reason enough to dance. That's reason enough to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Somebody needs to get a word for yourself, and then you need to start shouting unto God. Oh, you need to get a word and then praise him for it and shout unto him for it. You might not have everything you're looking for right now. You might not see your miracle happening right now. You might not have the check in the mail right now. You might not see the miracle in your home yet. You might not see the miracle in your relationships yet. You might not see the anointing yet. You might not see the ministry yet. But you need to get a word from the Lord. You need to get a word from the Lord and say, I don't have to see it before I shout about it. I don't have to witness it before I shout about it. Why? Because I got a word and that's all I need. I got a word and that's all I need. I'm going to dance. I'm going to shout. I'm going to rejoice. Why? Because I got a word. And he doesn't have to do it like I want him to do it for me to shout about it. And he doesn't have to work like I want him to work and when I want him to work before I shout about it. All I need is a word that says he's going to do it. And it'll be up to him to decide when he's going to do it. I don't need to know the when and the how and the where. I just need to get a word. And if I get a word, that's enough. I'll shout about it. Come on, put your hands together. Put your hands together. Give him praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
One more time, lift your hands, lift your voices. Come on, somebody give him praise in this house. See, because if we take the wait and see approach, well, I think I got a word, but I'm not going to shout about it, and I'm not going to rejoice about it. I'm not going to do all that stuff. I'm just going to wait and see. What does that show? It shows that we really don't believe the authority of the one who spoke it. Am I right? Now, last point and I'm done. This is why we can shout when we get a word from the Lord. Watch. Jeremiah 1 and 12. Last point. Jeremiah 1, 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten, or watch over, quickly watch over my word to perform it. I will watch over my word to perform it. Now, in order to truly understand this verse, you need to look at the verse prior to this verse, Jeremiah 1 and 11. Watch what it says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Jeremiah says to the Lord that he sees a vision. Stay with me and just think with me for just another moment and we'll be done. But Jeremiah says to the Lord that he sees a vision of an almond tree. And the Lord said, yeah, you've well seen, for I will hasten over my word to perform it. Jeremiah says, I see a vision of an almond tree. And what we need to understand about almond trees are that almond trees were the quickest trees to sprout forth in the spring. They were the first tree to sprout forth leaves in the spring. Let me say it like this. They performed their duties as a tree before any other tree began to bud. What that specific tree accomplished, it accomplished it quickly. So the Lord was telling Jeremiah, and through Jeremiah, he was telling us that he is literally watching over his word. He spoke a word, a word, and a word, and a word, and a word, and a word. And people grasped a hold of that word and brought down that authority with it. And God said, I am watching over my word. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to perform what he promised. To carry it out. To cause it to come about in the lives and the hearts of those who grasp the whole of it. And when he fulfills his word, he is going to do so quickly. When he accomplishes what his word said it would do, he will do it speedily. Quickly. Now, there is a season for the tree to bloom. But when that season rolls around, it's not going to be something that happens at the end of the season. It's going to be the first thing that happens when the season is right. Somebody hearing me right now? You say, well, God gave me a word 3 months ago and it didn't happen quickly. God gave me a word a year ago and it didn't happen quickly. Let me tell you something. There is a season. I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. I don't know when it is, and I don't know how God bases it and how God does it, but there is a season. There is a season that is going to transpire in your life. One day, you're going to be in one season, and the next day, you're going to be in the next. You hear me? I said you're going to move. You're going to transition. One day you're going to be like it is now. And the next day it's going to be completely different. And when you step into that new season, God said, I'm just watching. I'm just watching over my... I know what I promised you. I know what I promised you. And I know what I promised you. And I'm just watching. And I'm just watching. And I'm just watching. Because the moment the season is right, you're not going to have to wait for it to come to pass. You're not going to have to wait for it to happen. He said, I'm going to do it like the almond tree. It's the first thing that sprouts forth. It's the thing that happens the quickest. And I'm going to do a quick work. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You don't have to wait for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen right now. When it is your time, when it is your season, you're not going to have to beg God to do it. He's already watching. He's already looking. How many in this room got a promise from God? Lift your hands. I want you to understand that even right now, God hasn't forgotten about it. He saw your sacrifice. He saw your prayer. He saw your sincerity. He saw you when you were on your face. And he gave you a promise. And he is still watching over that promise. He's watching, he's watching, he's watching, he's watching. And when the time is right, and when the season is right, and when he's got it all worked out, just like he said he was going to do it, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly. Oh! He hasn't forgotten what he talked to you about. He hasn't forgotten what he promised you. He hasn't forgotten it. He's watching over it to perform what he promised. Stand to your feet, please. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Oh.